It's been a snowy week, and so we're very clearly still in the winter section. We're not to Lent yet. Lent is when spring begins to find its way in. But here we are in the season post-Epiphany, and we have this marvelous scripture passage today that is from the gospel that I've always joked is the gospel for people with ADHD. Nothing happens slowly in the Gospel of Mark. People get up and they do things quickly. No one says, I think I'm going to wander over to this town over there and we'll just take a leisurely stroll over and we'll just see what's going on. No. And immediately they get up and go. And so in the gospel lesson today, Jesus calls the disciples. Here are individuals that are in the middle of their day-to-day lives. They're working at their jobs. And we know that these are not just guys who are out on a random fishing trip. These aren't guys who woke up in the morning and said to their buddy, hey, what do you think we go fish today? Sounds great. Let's go get some fish. And we'll call in sick and tell the boss we're going fishing. No. These are commercial fishermen. These are people who make their living on the Sea of Galilee, taking ships out, pulling fish in, coming back. And we know that the Zebedee brothers are actually very successful. Their father has ships, plural, men, plural, nets, plural. He owns a fishing company. And so these aren't guys that just went out for a day. These are people who've dedicated probably the entirety of their lives to fishing. Now, some interesting facts about what it means to be a Jewish person living in the ancient world. So these fellows who have dedicated their lives to fishing did not start out to be fishermen. Now, I know I just said their father owned a fishing company. Probably came from a long line of fishermen. But a good Jewish family would have wanted something a little bit better. You see, when a young boy was ready to begin to make his way into the world and to become educated, the first thing he would do is he would start going to Torah school. He would start studying with the local rabbi. He would go to the rabbi. He would learn Hebrew. He would learn Hebrew well enough that he could read it in church on a Saturday. And he would begin to study the first five books of the Old Testament, what we call the Pentateuch. As they're studying the first five books, they're memorizing them too. And the students who were pretty good would get to go on after they'd mastered those first five books. If you were pretty good, you would then go on to study the total books of the Old Testament that were called the Tanakh. That include the books of the Torah, the first five books, as well as the prophets, as well as the wisdom literature and the histories. You would study these, and by study I mean memorize in large portions, until you reached a portion of your education where your rabbi would decide, are you a good enough student that you can stick with this and become a rabbi yourself, or are you not a good enough student? Now you have to go figure out what else you could possibly do with your life. And in the case of the men that are listed today, the four people who are called, they've already flunked out of the system. Now, for whatever reason, maybe they weren't great students. Maybe their fathers or their mothers or their families or their brothers put a little extra pressure on them to drop out of the program and come fish. One way or another, they started out their life on this road to hopefully one day graduate to the highly elevated status of rabbi, and they didn't make it. They've had to set that aside. It's not going to happen for their lives. They tried. It didn't work. Now they're professional fishermen. And here these professional fishermen are out in their boats. The newest, hottest, most incredibly popular rabbi in all of Galilee walks by their boats one day. And what does he say? Come and follow me. And it's not just a, hey, why don't you guys walk with me for a couple of miles and I want to chat. No, Jesus is offering a very specific call. He is offering them the opportunity to become sort of apprentice rabbis, to become disciples, followers who will one day themselves be able to take on the title of rabbi. Now, here are these four guys. They've already flunked out of that whole system. They don't have any hope for being apprenticed to a rabbi and going on and one day becoming a rabbi themselves. They've given that dream up. And then this incredible rabbi, the most popular rabbi in all the land, walks by one day and says, no, you know what? I think the system's wrong. I think you guys would make great disciples. Why don't you come and follow me and be my disciple? Here are people who had given up hope. They'd given up on the possibility that they would go on to have the life of a rabbi, and Jesus gives it back to them. So in the gospel today, when Jesus calls them, they don't look at each other and say, I don't know, what do you think? I don't know, maybe it's a good idea. I kind of like this fishing thing. Let's weigh the pros. No. All of that goes out the window. Jesus says, come and follow me. They drop what they're doing. They jump out of the boats. They walk after Jesus. He's given them another chance. A chance to pursue the dream of being a rabbi. Now, this may sound like kind of an odd dream to us nowadays because, well, to be perfectly frank, most of you probably did not sit around and think, oh, if I can only grow up and be a pastor. And maybe some of you did. I know that I did not. I wanted to grow up to be a lawyer. It wasn't until I was in college, my junior year in college, that God kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, I've got different plans for your life. But in the Old Testament, if you wanted to do the best a person could do, be the best a person could do, have the most success a person could have, you became a rabbi. And if you really wanted to be a successful rabbi, you became a rabbi who was the disciple of the top rabbi. Because if you were the disciple of the top rabbi, you yourself could one day be the top rabbi. This is what Jesus says to these fellows. These fellows who were dedicated to their faith in their own way, who were waiting for the Messiah unquestionably, and when Jesus comes along and gives them the opportunity to be disciples in a new way, there's no hesitancy. There's no wondering. They jump out of their boats and they join Jesus and they become disciples because they were invited. Invited to a new life. Invited to a life so much better than the one they'd had. Invited to a life that would transcend the life that they had tried to make for themselves. And this is a moment of absolute excitement for them. It shouldn't be any less for us. You know, Jesus still calls you and me to come and to follow. And I think one of the great lies of 20th and now 21st century Christianity is that our faith is in any way, shape, or form less of a vocation just because we have jobs out in the world. Your faith, your discipleship, your status as a follower of Jesus Christ is not something that happens on Sundays. It's not something that happens when you have time. You've been called by Jesus Christ. In the midst of your life, in the midst of the things that you're doing, you've been called by Jesus Christ to be a disciple, to be a follower. This is a full-time job. You don't get to say, well, I don't know, I guess I've got time here in a couple of months. No, 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 no. Jesus is calling you and me every single day, drop our worldly nets and be fishers of men. Be disciples of Jesus Christ. This is our task that we've been given. Now, the other things we do, our jobs, our duties, our chores, we do all of those as disciples because this is where God is having us do our work in this world. But it does not change the fact that we are doing these things while pursuing our first career as disciples. Because we've been called to this incredible thing by the great rabbi of rabbis, to be disciples, just like the men in our gospel today. Just like them, we're called to follow Jesus. Just like them, we're called to step where he stepped, walk where he's walked, talk as he talked. See, this is a disciple's job. When you are a follower of a rabbi, you talked the way your rabbi talked. You thought the way your rabbi thought. Your job was to emulate them in every way until you graduated out to be a rabbi yourself. We do the same thing. We're called to follow Jesus. Talk as he talked, walk as he walked, do as he did, at all times and in all places. We've been called out of our worldly boats. And it's an amazing call. It's a grace-filled call. Just as Jesus' call came to those fishermen who'd already lost hope. They'd already flunked out of the official system. They had no hope. Jesus gave them a second chance, and then maybe more than a second chance. He gave them an endless series of second chances. He does the same thing for you and I. So ask yourself this one question. In your life, where you are working at your day-to-day tasks, I doubt it's commercial fishing, but maybe it is. In your life, where you are at this world's nets and boats, and Jesus is calling you to follow, what does it look like for you to drop what this world has you doing and to walk in his footsteps? What does that look like for you? What does it mean for you? What does it mean that you will risk? And what does it mean that God is offering you this incredible chance?